This is Prop Point on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Brandon Kravitz here. Got a lot to talk about today. A little NBA, a little baseball, a little College World Series with our guy, John Avenesia. Looking forward to that segment. We're going to do a little rate that prop, and then we'll do some strikeout props and other props for a big Baseball Friday slate. But first, we have to talk about Game 6 and an upcoming NBA Game 7. Brandon Kravitz, this was an impressive win by the Pacers yesterday. Starting from the second quarter on, they really turned up the heat. You know, this is interesting. This game was 10-2 in favor of OKC at the first time out, and then the Pacers just caught fire after that.
Rick Carlisle called the timeout of all timeouts. I mean, it was just a completely different game after that. I thought Tyrese Halliburton looked really rough around the edges to open the game. I even live bet a point total under as I was texting you and our producer Michael about that. That went up into flames about 10 minutes later because I thought he played well. That was a really gutty performance by Halliburton, who, again, didn't look like himself out of the gate, but close enough to that level where he wasn't a detriment. And in fact, I thought once he settled into the game, he played quite well. And more than anything, Jeff, I think he really inspired his teammates. The crowd was on fire, and it seemed like all of those role guys, Andrew Nembhard had a great game. Obi Toppin as well scored 20 points, something that we forecasted on yesterday's show. All in all, hard not to applaud the effort from Indiana and from Tyrese Halliburton for gutting it out.
Indeed. A couple key plays early. Like we said, 10-2 OKC early. Siakam hits a bucket and an and-one, and I think that was massive in this game, kind of just to relax everyone. Then Nembhard hit a couple of threes. And you know, the narrative on Nembhard is, you know, kind of altered throughout the playoffs. You know, he was kind of rough against the Knicks. Rough a little bit early on, but had a big game one against OKC. And then obviously last night, just huge, huge threes early on. The defense, they did something different here. I thought that was interesting. Carlisle had the team pick up SGA at midcourt as opposed to all, you know, the full 90 plus feet. You know, conserve a little energy. And it threw them a different look, and they didn't adjust well. And they missed some open shots, to be sure. And in fact, they started off 1-for-16 for three. I'm pretty sure the OKC is not going to do that on Sunday night in game seven. But I think the different look mattered a little bit there. They got a lot of traps in there. They forced a lot of turnovers, especially, you know, when they were trying to turn around that comeback. And that happened in a hurry. And it just all throughout that second quarter in particular, they really kept OKC out of rhythm.
This is what's gotten the Pacers to this point, and this is what's gotten them to this point in this series, and it's Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle is the guy that I trust more to make the proper adjustments in this series, but now OKC gets to go home and adjust to the adjustment, and that's where I still think they have an advantage. Yep. This game was not indicative to me of how good the Pacers are. It was an absolute no-show on the Oklahoma City Thunder. It was a gutty performance by Indiana, great coaching from Rick Carlisle, but think of how uncharacteristic that game was. The Thunder scored their least amount of points through three quarters this season with 60. Also, of the 103 games played this season, this game was just the second time all year that the Thunder didn't create a steal or a live ball turnover in the first half of a basketball game. Their bench, which has been great, outscored 31-6 in the first three quarters of this game. The fourth quarter was complete mop-up duty for both, so completely throw away that portion of the box score. And SGA tallied his second lowest point total in the entire postseason, where he played at least 30 minutes. I am impressed with Indiana. However, if I'm being honest with myself, I feel like this game was kind of a fluke. The Pacers are not a fluke. This particular game was. They had it. The Thunder didn't. And the Thunder didn't punch back. I thought they played like a team that knew they had another one in their back pocket. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to play with fire. But I'm just not that worried about OKC going into game seven based on what I saw in game six. It felt like an outlier performance.
I mean, yeah, I agree with a lot of what you say. I think OKC is still a wagon. I still think you're going to see a far better performance from them on Sunday night. Hell, I mean, their starters didn't play a lick in the fourth quarter. They barely showed up in the third quarter. They didn't score from like the 1:46 mark of the second quarter all the way through like the first 5 minutes of the third quarter. You want to talk about a team that like knew that they had that game in the bag. I think, you know, I was stunned that they didn't come out with more at the start of the third quarter. They, you know, the Pacers had some bad offensive possessions to start that second half, and OKC did nothing, not a zilch, zip, nada with those breaks. Once that was done, and you know, you had the Pacers then go on a little mini run. The OKC burned up two timeouts in the third quarter. It was over. It was just over. You know, the Ben Shepherd three at the end of the quarter was a nice punctuation mark, but it probably wasn't needed. I mean, it was just one of those where it's just like, okay, all right, we know we have this. We did it against Denver. Let's go home. I think that's the mentality. And they're favored by 7.5 points, I think for good reason. I'm not even shocked at this one here at all. They've been a much better team at home than they've been on the road. I think you pointed out in the doc, they're 1-9 against the spread now again on the road. That one they barely covered. That was game four against the Pacers there, where they were trailing to start the fourth quarter by 7 points and then had some late free throws at the end to get that number. I mean, that game was never outside the number until the last minute of the game. So they've just not been a road cover team. That's something that, you know, as this franchise progresses over the course of, you know, their history, they're going to get there at some point to be a better road team. They're just not there yet.
I think it comes with experience. We saw this early on with the Boston Celtics when they were starting to make their climb up the NBA ranks. They were so much better at home than they were on the road. I think you have to keep in mind, Jalen Williams is still just a couple of years into the league. And he's their second best player. So this team is, I don't want to call them ahead of schedule, because last year it felt like they should have been at this point and they were a disappointment, but they are still so incredibly young. And this is what young teams do. They play much better at home. They feel and feed off of the fanfare, where older teams, just to them, it's just noise. The Golden State Warriors, by the time they got rolling into their dynasty, they didn't care if they were silencing a road crowd or firing up a home crowd. They just played the same way all the way throughout. The numbers back this up in a big way, not only in terms of the cover rates that you talk about. OKC, their playoff net rating at home, 20.7. On the road, minus 6.2, a 26.9 point difference per 100 possessions between home and road. That is what we're looking at here. I don't think this number is big enough, quite frankly, Jeff. At 7.5, obviously Indiana's taking money. The Thunder have been 9-point favorites at home throughout this series, and I think you're getting a discount here on OKC.
And to your point, it opened at 8.5, and you were doing the podcast last night with Brian Fonseca and Matt Moore, and I am going to upbraid you because you're saying you're not excited about a game seven between these two teams. You said at least last night. I don't know if your stance has changed after a good night's sleep. Maybe you're a little less cranky now and all that, but it's a game seven. We haven't had a game seven since 2016. Come on, man.
I will admit I was a little bit cranky last night on the YouTube live stream that I was doing with Action Network. I hand up on that one, but I think that just added to the saltiness of it. The opinion still stands. Game sevens are overrated, especially for a series like this. I like watching these two teams play, but this series has been sloppy and lopsided outside of a couple of instances. Game sevens have become the NBA's equivalent to the New Year's Eve party. It sounds awesome. It's usually pretty lame. Home teams in the NBA finals in a game seven straight up are 15-4 overall. Also, the average scoring margin in the NBA in game sevens, 12.6 points per game over the last 10. And that's not even the worst part. This postseason alone has produced three game sevens. The average scoring differential is 21.6. You can be excited about the pregame show, but the game is probably not going to be very entertaining, which is why I was salty about it. I don't think we're going to get a good game, and I think it is sort of a waste of everybody's time.
The opinions of Brandon Kravitz do not reflect the opinions of VSiN.com or any other entity here on the channel. But I think, you know, you talk about the history of the finals, and I grok that. But again, we've had one game seven final in the last 10 years. So I don't really know how much of that applies. I also think, you know, how much of this playoffs have we talked about defying history, the Pacers defying history, the, you know, the Thunder for that matter, being the youngest finals team basically ever. I mean, this is, there's a lot at work here that I think might be different, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing it there. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun watching this game and how it plays out. But I've been really excited. You mentioned it's a 7.5 point line. The total is also way down at 215.5. We'll have to talk about that a little bit more. Quick note real quick. Are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering ROTO15 at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. Any reaction real quick here on that total at 215.5? When this series started, Brandon, we were at like 229, I think it was. And you were big on the over on the under yesterday. You were right about that. And it's gone 7 points lower than that now.
I haven't touched it yet. It's this is a precipitous drop, so I'm going to have to see if I can stomach it before I get in. I'm heavy on the OKC side, so I probably won't end up playing a total, but I would advise those out there, just because the total drop doesn't mean you should hop in on the over. There's a reason it dropped the way that it did. These defenses are going to stiffen up. It's win or go home, and usually we see defenses really stiffen up in these situations.
Yeah, and the shooters might be tight as well. Rate that prop coming up next on Prop Points.
Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here. He's Brandon Kravitz. You're watching us, and we're going to do a game called Rate That Prop. Our producer, Michael Cohen, our intrepid producer, Michael Cohen, has carefully curated player props. And we'll have a scaling meter from 1 to 5, and we will rate the prop based on the player, their latest stats, and the price. Maybe the vibes. We'll see. 1 equals bad, 2 equals okay, 3 equals decent, 4 equals good, and 5 equals fantastic. Let's get started. We got 3 hoops props and 3 baseball props. Brandon, Tyrese Halliburton, over 2.5 made threes at plus 114. Rate that prop.
I'm giving this one a rock solid middle of the road 3. I expect this to be a tight, low-scoring game. The total indicates as much as we were talking about in the last segment. It's game 7. These teams know each other well, yada, yada. You know all the bullet points. But I like this based on the eye test. I thought Tyrese Halliburton really hesitated to drive to the basket in game 6. You could tell that he didn't want to plant that calf and push off of it. So it was pass or 3 for him, and he did both fairly well. He attempted 7 in game 6. I think we see more of the same. Now, it's a 3 because I'm confident that the attempts are going to be there. I'm not all the way confident that he's going to knock them down, but if the attempts are there, it's enough to at least feel decent, especially given the plus 114 price on it.
Sure, that makes sense. I'm not confident he's going to make those either, to be honest with you there. It was kind of an energy sort of thing that got going. I mean, early on, the shooting was abysmal there, and I think you might see that at the start of game 7 too, so we'll see about that. I hope I'm wrong. I want to see these teams come out on fire there. All right, prop number 2 for hoops. Pascal Siakam, over 7.5 rebounds at plus 110. Brandon, rate that prop.
We're going to kick up the scoring a notch here, going with a 4. Pascal Siakam's kind of been a cash cow throughout the course of this series, feeding families in the NBA Finals. His points and rebounds prop has been the more reliable, so if you just want to go back to Old Faithful, that's perfectly fine. But if you want to just target rebounds, not a bad idea. Should be a lot of missed shots in this game because of the tight nature of it. And he's clearly not getting out-muscled by the Isaiah Hartensteins and Chet Holmgrens of the world. He has had a whopping 80 rebounding chances in this series, second only to Chet Holmgren. So I love this one. A rock-solid 4 for Pascal Siakam over 7.5 boards.
Speaking of Chet, he started that game last night. Okay. You know, in the first 5 minutes of that game, he looked good. He looked confident. Then he got muscled around the rest of that game. I was really surprised to see Chet's performance in particular. I was really disappointed with what he did in that game there. So I think he's definitely one of those house cats. That's much, much happier at home right now. I think over the course of his career, as he gets more confident, that'll change. But we'll see about that. All right. Third one for us here. SGA over 33.5. That line's been pretty consistent throughout the playoffs there. 33.5 points scored, minus 110. Brandon, rate that prop.
Not one, not two, not three, not four. We're going five. A full load here for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. SGA off of a bad game. Sign me up for this. The last time he played this poorly was game three against Minnesota. SGA scored 14 points in that game. They got blown out, came back in game four and dropped 40 on him. He's the best player in the game. He's the MVP. They're at home. Finals are on the line. If he doesn't put 35 on the board in this game, we might have to revoke the regular season award. Also, if it makes you feel better about this, they have lowered the number from 34.5. So that's always a bonus for a sports bettor that wants to take the over. You come in after the player disappointed. They lower the number. You come in and slide up top. And he has averaged 30.5 points per game in this series. So slightly disappointing there, I guess, even though he's probably going to win finals MVP. But the number is much better at home, 34.3 points per game inside of the friendly confines of whatever they call that building in OKC.
You know, what's interesting is that his MVP odds, SGA's MVP odds, have kind of come back down a little bit, minus 205. If you're over on the player scoring prop, you're probably should be interested in maybe a little sprinkle on the MVP as well, huh?
And I'm sorry, say who was that again?
SGA's MVP prop is at minus 205 now. It was like minus 500 yesterday, I think, right? So, I mean, if the theory of the case is that you think OKC is going to win this game and SGA is going to go off, it's pretty good bet to get 2-1 on it on an MVP here.
I just at this point, Jalen Williams might actually snag this thing from him. So I don't love this because he could still okay. He could go off. If Jalen Williams has another great game and he's even better and he's the reason that they win, that number sitting out there is like plus 750 the last time I looked at it. I don't think that's a bad way to look either, but I usually don't like putting my money
plus 1100. By the way,
I'm the wrong person to ask whenever it comes to finals awards and things of that nature, because I just never tie up my money in NBA writers' votes. That's not where I like to put
fair
my
point.
Funds. Now let me put the pressure on to you, Jeff. Okay, let's talk some Major League Baseball. Rafael Devers has a big weekend in front of him, one plus home runs at plus 295. Rafi has found a new home in San Francisco. He's played three games at Oracle so far. He's 3-for-11 at the plate, still has not sent one deep. So how do you rate it?
All right, for the first time in the storied history of rate this prop, I think we're going to go with a one. And I just, first of all, I don't like betting home run props when they're less than plus 300. I just think that you're not getting a whole lot of value there. It's a hard thing to hit a home run. You know where it's really hard to hit a home run, Brandon? Oracle Park. Giants left-handed hitters have five homers in Oracle Park this year. That's five. According to Baseball Savant, their home run park factor for left-handed homers is 77. Only Kauffman Stadium has been worse over the last 3 years. I know the narrative street here. It's the Rafi Devers revenge game. I get it against the Red Sox there. But I don't think Hunter Dobbins is a punching bag, that the opposing pitcher for the Red Sox. And I think the whole narrative, okay, well, a baseball player can just turn on his will and all of a sudden muscle out a home run just because he's motivated more. I don't know. It might happen. It's a cynical belief by me to believe that it's not true, actually, but I don't think it's true. So I'm going one here.
That's very low. Now they do get three tries at this over the course of the weekend. What if you were to just play this every day? Like, he's got to get one against his former team. The narrative is right there.
It is. But again, this is a total narrative bet. And that's just the point. I'm not big on doing narrative bets. I do it every once in a while. Don't kid me. I won't lie. There are times when I go down narrative street. The worst one was the Nick Castellanos, the day the Pope died, home run prop, just because somehow he homers on disaster days or something like that. That was the worst one ever for narrative street, but I'm going to avoid that. Pitchers, by the way, the rest of the weekend are Brian Bayo and Lucas Giolito. So at least they are three right-handed pitchers. So that does increase the odds a little bit.
Yeah, the Castellanos thing was that was a little bit of a stretch. I think this one more of a direct correlation to potential motivation. That I'm with you on narratives, but this one's pretty clean and very recent also.
Yeah.
But let's talk about a lefty, Max Fried, over 6.5 strikeouts, sitting at -110. He faces the feisty Baltimore Orioles, who seem to be turning things around right now. Do we like the over at 6.5? How do you rate it?
I rate this one a 4. Fried has hit this mark in 4 of the last 6. Baltimore has a 23.1% K percentage over the last 30. That's among the top 10 in baseball, top 10 highest strikeout rate. And they strike out 25.3% of the time against left-handed pitchers, of which Max Fried is a left-handed pitcher. So let's go ahead and make this one a 4. I'd even consider it playing it a little bit later on when we talk about some of the other things on our baseball slate.
Let's hit, I think we have time for another one. Zach Wheeler, over 18.5 outs recorded at +145. The Phillies throwing their stud and Wheeler on the rubber tonight. Second time this season that he's going to square off with the Mets. First go around, he pitched 6 innings, allowed 2, struck out 9, and the Mets are reeling right now. So how do you rate it? Zach Wheeler, over 18.5 outs recorded.
Yeah, Brandon, I thought I'd like this one better than I did the research on this one here. I'm only going to rate it a 3. Wheeler's a very good pitcher. I love him. But he's only hit this mark in one of his last 5 starts. He went, like you said, he went 6 innings against the Mets earlier on. That's 18 outs. I think it's a little tougher than you think to hit this mark. Mets are reeling. They've lost 6 in a row, but at the same time, they're still a good lineup. I wouldn't bet against him constantly there. Do you want to make smarter football bets this season? Start with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175, giving you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You'll also get a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics and betting tools on VSiN.com. Don't miss the early bird deal. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird football special for just $175. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We're going to switch the conversation over to the College World Series. We're down to 2 teams, LSU and Coastal Carolina. Johnny Venezzi is going to swap on by to give us a preview of those games next on Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ooh, welcome back to Prop Points. We're down to the final 2 teams of the College World Series, Coastal Carolina and LSU. Joining us now to help us break it down, just like he did at the start of the tournament, is our guy from RotoWire, our college baseball expert, Johnny Venezia, which you can follow on Twitter at @_JohnnyVTV. Johnny, welcome to the show. What a finish between LSU and Arkansas to get that final team into the bracket. What a crazy 9th inning in that one there. First of all, epic game between LSU and Arkansas. And Arkansas obviously had a great run through a no-hitter in the College World Series. 2 awesome teams there.
Yeah, great to be back, guys. Thanks for having me. So when I came on RotoWire and I was talking to you and I was talking to some of the other brass, I'm like, we got to start talking about college baseball. Like this is the best sport bar none. I'm not saying it because it's the time of year. Like this is why I cover the sport so extensively throughout the year, because well, everybody sees that LSU Arkansas game, which was epic. That's why I love college baseball. And it's not just because of this time of year. That stuff happens every week throughout the year, but it's just not on as big of a stage and it's not as national news spotlight worthy. But this is just the best game we have. This postseason is better than any sports postseason, including with the World Series, or I would put it up there as better than the Super Bowl. I think it's better than the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup. There is nothing better in the world than college baseball, and it's not a prisoner of the moment's take. This is what I truly believe. It's just, it's unparalleled in action.
Johnny, I asked you briefly before we came back live if Coastal Carolina has a real chance. I am as casual a college baseball fan as you'll find, but I love the sport, and I love what I've seen from Coastal Carolina throughout the course of the season. I feel like they're probably undervalued in the market just because LSU is such a big brand, and such a big brand in baseball specifically, and the SEC spends so much money to be good. I want to back Coastal Carolina here, but I'm just trying to find the best avenue to do it. Do you think there's better value on Coastal in game one at plus 130 or in the best of three series at plus 155?
So Coastal Carolina is for real, man. They definitely have a chance. Coming into this tournament, I believed, or the College World Series, I should say, I believe that they had the best 1-2-3 weekend rotation in the field here, and that's a huge advantage. Not to mention, they have a very good bullpen with several highly trusted arms. They have an offense that's, it's not flashy, but they do their brand of baseball so well, where they're able to hit, get on, get guys in. They'll wear pitches. I think they have the most pitches, hit by pitches in the country. They steal and they don't panic. And that's really undervalued this time of year. And the fact is they have pitching matchups where they can go toe-to-toe with guys for LSU. So I think they're definitely live. I have this going three games. And for me, I think personally, I can't go against Kane Anderson in game one. This is the Saturday spot. He's going to be on regular rest. And for Coastal Carolina, their ace, their best guy, Jacob Morrison, has been throwing game twos for most of the year. So we're going to get Cam Flukie in game one, who's also been really good this year. And the thing about Coastal's pitching is – all these guys with Cam Flukie, Jacob Morrison, Riley Eichhoff, all have had monster bounce backs from last year, or in Jacob Morrison's case from 23, because he was recovering off TJ last year. But Kate Anderson in game one is just something that I can't not take. This has been one of the top pitchers in the country this year. He's leading the NCAA in strikeouts with 170. He's got real sugar Shane McClanahan vibes. He's come on from basically a midweek starter bullpen guy last year, maybe in a second round pick, coming into the year to a bona fide first rounder, top five pick, and maybe now he's getting real steam to go 1-1 in July to the Nationals. Kate Anderson has been money. He went 7 innings, 1 earned against Arkansas, one of the top lineups in the country. And I think overall, the reason why LSU has the advantage, as great as Coastal's played, 26 wins in a row, they haven't seen a team like LSU. They haven't faced an offense as good as LSU's. I mean, Auburn was a great offense. They went on the road and beat them. That was a very impressive super regional. But LSU's a different breed, man. They're built different. This team has as much postseason experience as anybody in the last half decade. They know what it takes in the big moment to get it done, as we saw against Arkansas. So it's a different breed that these pitchers are going to be seeing, and that's why I don't know if they're as prepared to face this level of competition that they really haven't seen much throughout the year. So I'm going to go with LSU, my preseason team to win it all, to take game one. I think Jacob Morrison and Anthony Ionton is going to be a great game too. Ionton's another high riser, one of my big risers, like a Kate Horton-esque jump for this July, coming over from UC San Diego last year. Morrison's going to be a big riser too, maybe a first rounder, very early second. I think I'd probably give the nod to Jacob Morrison on Sunday against LSU. Probably going to be plus money there. And then most likely it's going to be Kaysen Evans, the standout freshman for LSU, against Riley Eichhoff. I think by that point, though, just the experience factor is going to come in for the Tigers here. Evans, when he's on, which we saw the other day against UCLA when he came in and settled that game down. We saw it against Little Rock. This kid is electric, man. He's going to be a superstar for LSU for the next couple of years. And I think I'm going to go with him over Eichhoff in that game three. So give me LSU in three. I just think the experience, the postseason pedigree, and the overall talent top to bottom as a roster is going to be the thing that proves fruitful for them for their second title in 3 years.
We're talking with Johnny Venezia from RotoWire, talking about this College World Series. Johnny, the total is 8.5 in game one. There's some wind gusts in this game. What do you expect the scoring environment to be like? You know, how's the park going to play? And are there any hitters in particular we should key on for game one?
Yeah, so as we've seen, Omaha is a very tough place to hit one out. It's just, it can be done, but it, you don't get any cheapies there. You really have to earn it. And for LSU, I mean, their power guy's Bear Jones. Jared Jones, let's talk about this kid, man. 0 for 5 in the first game of the tournament last Saturday. And then how does he respond? He hits a monster 3-run home run against UCLA to give them back the lead, and then they never look back. Hits a home run down 1 in the bottom of the 8th against Arkansas, and then hits the game-winning RBI single in the bottom of the 9th. This is their guy, man. Great rebound for him. He has some of the most raw power in the country, but that also includes some of the other guys LSU has. I mean, you look at somebody like Monster Milam, even at 5'7", can hit one out. This whole team, this is why they're over 100 home runs this year, because they have a lot of different sources of production. For Coastal Carolina, there's only two guys in double figures. They're not really a power team. I don't even think they have 70 on the year. So they're more hit over power this year as opposed to 2 years ago where they were top 10 in basically every offensive category. It's unlikely that they're going to be able to put more than one home run out. Cade Anderson, he's been amazing this year, but his bugaboo has been the home runs. He's given up 16 on the year, but in this environment against this team, it's going to be a lot harder for Coastal to be able to leave the yard. I probably think the 8.5, which is crazy to think about in college, because we get this sort of number maybe like 5 or 6 times a year. Like, these totals are usually 10.5, 11.5 or bigger. I think the under's in play. I think it's in play, but I'm more interested in the LSU money line. I think I could see LSU winning this first game somewhere along the lines of like 4-2, maybe 5-3. So I think if we're going to bet on a home run guy, it's probably going to be Bear Jones. You'll probably get him around plus 350, which is what DraftKings has been putting out. I think there's a good chance he could leave the yard in at least one of the three games.
Johnny, about 30 seconds left on this one. You mentioned the total there at 8.5. You think under is in play for game one. What about for game two and potentially game three? Probably going to see it perhaps react to whatever we see in game one, but what's the early read on how this series lines up in terms of the totals for the other two games if we do get to that third?
So typically what happens is Sundays meaning game three. So Monday it would be for this one is probably going to be a little bit higher scoring. You have guys that are a little bit more high variance with Cason Evans and Riley Eichhoff. And you might be getting towards the end of the bullpen, which guys may either be not as experienced or might be a little bit tired. So I could see that being a little bit higher scoring. I'd be curious to see what the number is there. I think Saturday's game, or sorry, Sunday's game, game two, could be another under. Ianson is money. So is Jacob Morrison. We could see two pitchers duels reasonably on Saturday and Sunday here. And just as I talked about coming in on this show when the tournament started or College World Series started, LSU over Coastal was what I had, and that's the exact result that we gave out at plus 950. So we're closing in. A couple more wins for the Tigers to get this done for the boys one time.
All right, Johnny, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us. He is Johnny Venezia from, and you can follow him at underscore Johnny VTV. Looking for a more exciting way to bet? It's called XCUTTA. That's spelled XCUTTA, and it's the future of futures wagering. It combines the adrenaline of a live auction with the strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. It's easy to use, and it works for any sport. Over 1,000 teams, players, golfers, and drivers. XCUTTA is adaptable to any sport, even horse racing, and it's free to sign up. You pick who you want to bid on, customize your action, set your winnings, and invite your friends to play. You can even create auctions for free. XCUTTA has free auctions every day at 3, 6, and 9 Eastern Time. Send an email to support@XCUTTA, mention VEASAN, and they'll give you a 3-month promo code to get started. XCUTTA is Sports Calcutta.
Prop Points on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to VSIN, the sports betting network. You're locked into Prop Points. I'm Brandon Kravitz, filling in for the vacationing Nick Whalen, who will be back on Monday's show. Jeff Erickson back as well, giving out more winners in the world of Major League Baseball. We've got one game being played out this afternoon. The Mariners are in Wrigley taking on the Cubs. The Cubs up 3-1 in the top of the second inning. Got a pair of home runs in the game. Cal Raleigh with 28 dingers on the season so far that leads Major League Baseball, and Ian Happ for the Chicago Cubs when blowing out in Wrigley today. So could end up being a high scoring one there in Chicago. By my count yesterday, Jeff, you did pretty well for yourself. You really righted the ship for prop points when it comes to baseball bets. Well done.
I'm just glad to be part of the team, Brandon, but let's keep it rolling here. Let's get some strikeout ones lined up here. I think we got some on line here. Starting off with this Red Sox Giants game. We got Red Sox Giants. It's San Francisco -132 on this one, over under 7.5. Hunter Dobbins versus Hayden Birdsong. The focus is going to be on Rafael Devers. It's Rafael Devers revenge series. And he's been 3 for 11 with two walks with the Giants so far. We talked earlier how I don't like the home run prop. I don't think you're getting a good price for the difficulty considered for that ballpark. I'm going to focus, though, a little bit else on the other side of it here. Hayden Birdsong pitching against his former teammates. Birdsong, you know, moved into the rotation about four outings ago. He's got a 4.05 ERA over that span, but 22 strikeouts. The Red Sox have a 24% strikeout rate, and it's 25.4% over the last 30 days. So my bet here, it's going to be Hayden Birdsong over 6.5 Ks, get it at +140. That's the alternate strikeout rate. If you set it at I think the over under at DraftKings is at 5.5, but you're paying like a -150 price. I don't like that price. So we're going to do one more up, increase our degree of difficulty, and get a better price.
The Red Sox have been really struggling to hit too without Devers in the lineup, so they're feeling that. Birdsong is the apple of everyone's eye, it seems. I heard JVT on Money Moves all over Hayden Birdsong, one of his guys, and I think he's on a Red Sox team total under. Not a bad way to look either. What about the Rangers and the Pirates? Runs should be at a premium in this series, two of the lowest scoring teams in baseball. We've got DeGrom on the mound tonight, so that won't make things much easier for Pittsburgh. What are we looking at here, Jeff?
Yeah, this is, I'm excited. This is obviously the angle is DeGrom on the mound there, and I'm excited about him as well. Hasn't allowed more than two runs in an outing since April 11th. So we'll just throw that right out there right now. We're going to go the under 1.5 earned runs allowed at +105 against the impotent Pirates. No Brian Reynolds, I think, still. He's on that paternity leave. So we'll take advantage of that. But I'm also really interested in his opposing number today, and that's Mike Burrows, who's a prospect in his own right. James Anderson on RotoWire's prospect list has him in the top 150 of his prospects. And Texas continues to struggle against right-handed pitchers. 295 WOBA in the last 30 days. That's 27th in baseball. 88 WRC plus. That's 25th in baseball over that span. Evan Carter has changed this lineup a little bit, but even he has struggled in the last week or so. Burrows has 20 strikeouts over his last three starts, including eight against the Cubs last time out. So we're going to go Burrows over 4.5 strikeouts at -120.
In that Rangers Pirates game, by the way, still get the under at 7.5 at the best price I see, -109 out there in the market. Not a bad call there. That is one of my plays tonight. Orioles Yankees, fourth meeting between these two clubs tonight. The Orioles do hold a 2-1 advantage, by the way, even though they've been significantly the worst team in terms of these two throughout the course of the season. But they do not have the pitching edge tonight, that's for sure. Max Fried on the bump, third best ERA in baseball behind only Paul Skenes and Hunter Brown. So what are we looking at here? Should be an interesting one out there at Yankee Stadium.
I, too, like danger, Mr. Kravitz, so I'm going to kind of go a little counterintuitive here. I think it's just a very high price that you're getting here. If you get Baltimore on the money line at +237, you're getting a pitcher in Tomo Sugano who actually pitched his best game of the year against the Yankees last time out. 8 Ks in that one, doesn't have any other starts with more than 5 Ks. I know I'm kind of playing with fire here, but I feel like I'm getting a good price, especially for a team in the Yankees that before yesterday has been really struggling with the bats lately. Did yesterday wake him up? We'll see, but I kind of like the ball, you know, taking it, you know, I like taking money lines when you get some plus money at times. I think this is one where you're getting a good payout there. So I like that a little bit. We'll take our chances.
Boy, that makes me, a little nervous, but sometimes the best bets do exactly that. It's going to have to be a bullpen meltdown because Fried has been money this season. Talk about the Tigers and the Rays. The Tigers still sporting the best record in baseball. Shane Boz gets the start tonight for the opposition. Boz coming off of a solid outing against the Mets, but Steinbrenner Field has not been his ally. His ERA sits at 5.36 at home. Any thought there, or are you looking another way?
No, you're on here. I'm worried about both starters. Flaherty has allowed 14 homers so far this season. Boz has allowed 13 homers. We know that Steinbrenner Field plays well for power, especially a little opposite field power. So even like with in the case of Flaherty, sometimes in the case of Boz, right-handed hitters are actually doing a little bit better against them than lefties in terms of power. 9 of the 13 homers he's allowed have been by righties. So I've got 2 home run props for you today. I'll have a little fun. Here's where this is the price range I like to dabble in when you're doing home run props. Jonathan Aranda at plus 450. He loves hitting in Steinbrenner Field at home. Spencer Torkelson, plus 400. He's got 16 homers on the year, and you're getting plus 400 as a price here. Much better ballpark to hit in, better pitcher to go against than when we were talking about. Compare that versus the Devers bet earlier, which is at plus 295. This is the range we're talking about. This is where I like it.
The Tigers minus 105 on the money line at DraftKings. The Rays at minus 115. That minus 105, by the way, better price than you're getting in a lot of other areas. So if you like the Tigers tonight, DraftKings gives you a nice sweet price on that. The Mets at the Phillies. Let's talk some NL East. The battle for first place this weekend. This is a big one. And the Mets could not be entering this series any colder than they are. Only the Chicago White Sox have lost more games consecutively than the New York Mets, and they're throwing Blake Tidwell back out there. I watched his first game, his debut, and he got rocked in his first outing.
Yeah, so that was a spot start against the Cardinals. That was ugly. And the thing is, nice. I like what you did there. Going up against Zach Wheeler, we talked about Wheeler earlier. So, yeah, definitely a big mismatch in the starting pitchers. Tidwell is the replacement to the replacement. Tyler McGill went on the IL, and they were going to use Justin Hagemann, but Hagemann had to start pitch yesterday when Clay Holmes couldn't find the plate in finishing up that sweep by the Braves. Tidwell is a second-round pick in 2022. He does throw hard, hit 99 miles in spring training, but he's been really wild over his career. 9.5% walk rate in AAA this year, over 13% the year before. You look throughout his minor league career, throws hard, doesn't know where it's going. My play is simple here. Going to go Tidwell over 2.5 walks allowed, plus 160.
That's brilliant. I'm going to tell you on that one. Let's talk about Hunter Brown, one of the best pitchers in baseball, facing an Angels team that ranks second to last in strikeout rate in the big league. So, where could we be looking here?
Yeah, this is this is definitely a kiss bet here. Keep it simple, stupid. Even though it is a thank you game for Yusei Kikuchi, not a revenge game. Thank you, because the Astros made him a lot of money by how he pitched with them after they traded for him last year. But I'm going to focus on Hunter Brown. Struck out 12 last time, the 9 before that. 25%, the Angels have a 25.7% K rate over the last 30, tied for worst in baseball with the pace-eating Rockies. Let's just go over 7.5 Ks at plus 120. That's going to be my bet there. Keep it very simple on that one. Best bets are brought to you by GBank, including the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and Beeson. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. Beeson completes the trifecta with a free Beeson Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and Beeson. Head to Beeson.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Brandon, it's time for our GBank Best Bets. One of my favorite times of the day. Who is your GBank Best Bet?
I like the Yankees and the Orioles under 9 runs scored. I do downgrade the Yankees offense based on what they've done over the past week. Even weighting that with their season-long numbers, I think this line should be closer to 8 given the pitching matchup and the Orioles' struggles against lefties.
I like it. I like it. And hey, that Orioles money line can still come through. A 3-2 win over by the Orioles makes us both very happy. My best bet is going to be Mike Burrows and over 4.5 Ks against for the Pirates there against the Rangers. Hank, this is up. Wraps up Prop Points. Coming up next, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Thanks for listening.